This episode has descriptions of sexual content and violence. Listener discretion is advised.
Mystified.
Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Mystified. My name is Tasha.
This is Steven.
And this is a podcast where we bring you strange and unusual stories. Pew, 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 pew. Pew. Pew, 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 pew. That was my impersonation of fireworks that are going to start going off any day now and last for like 2 weeks because we live in the country. And if it isn't a gun, it is a firework. Or is it a firework? Was it a gun? You know, we're going to be playing that game for the next couple days. So,
yeah, but remember when it was a cannon?
True. We did live next to two doors down from a man who had a cannon. And he would fire that cannon
on holidays.
On holidays, just on like a on 4 o'clock in the afternoon, while you're hanging out on like a Thursday, he would just fire that shit out of no warning, no nothing.
That was like the first time you'd ever heard a cannon, too, wasn't it?
No, because when I was younger and lived in Pennsylvania, we went to this like Civil War reenactment because we were in the North. Of course, they had to like. Especially, I guess, teach me since I was a little Southern kid that had come up there, like how the North won. And we got to see like Abe Lincoln's like log house, log cabin. It was not a house. It was like the size of like a shed.
Yeah.
We got to see that. And then they did like a reenactment and they fired cannons and muskets and shit. And like had, and then everybody had to sit there and load. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild to think there were kids right there. And I'm pretty sure that was live ammunition because how can it not be?
Oh, because no. Because like cannons and muskets are like muzzle loaders. So that's what they're doing is they're packing a powder charge into it. So right. It's just, I mean.
As long as they didn't put like projectiles in there.
Yeah. The ball. Yeah. If there's no ball, it's just the like, yeah, the powders.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I have heard. But not on a regular basis, like our neighbor was, which this conversation is so far away from our story and episode that we have today that, yeah, wow. I don't know how we segue out of that other than just being like, okay, topic change. Here we go. But since this is almost the end of June, we thought or figured we would finally do some type of pride, queer, LGBTQ plus episode. But the challenge was not really the challenge, but to do one that wasn't traumatizing, you know, like.
I think challenge is the right word. We did challenge ourselves to think outside the box.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of important stories, especially about pride, that need to be talked about and, you know, over and over and over again so those voices don't go silent. But there's also a lot of actually kind of positive and interesting stories out there that aren't just LGBTQ trauma, like the whole story, or just their plight. It's actually like some of them, you know, just living their lives. And there's also a lot of examples of them existing long before now where people can blame it on the government or it's a choice or what have you. Like they have existed as long as humanity and humans have existed because they're natural, just like everyone else. So it was also interesting to do the research and see that there were a lot of historical figures and facts and people there that, you know, I don't know. It was good it not just be beatings and murder and, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the stories are peppered with that. It's hard to completely avoid.
True.
It because it's like you said, it's been going on forever. And mm-hmm. as long as it's been going on, there has been people who didn't think it should be going on.
Oh, and of course.
So, yeah, for every and that's the challenging part is to try to find the least
to find someone who isn't just known for their death. to just known for their suffering, I guess, is the best way to say it. And not that that is not important, because it is. And we do need to talk about it, but we need to talk about it like every month, not just one month out of the year, but like every day kind of thing, especially since you don't know who around you is suffering or who is, you know, dealing with their own identity and sexuality and the confusion that may come with that. And then you're sitting there just being an asshole because you don't agree with how someone else is living their lives, not realizing that you're also repressing and hurting a person that you probably care a whole lot about. So, you know, just don't be an asshole. Don't worry about who other people love.
Yeah, like, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, stop it. You can have your own beliefs. Don't push them on other people. Like, you follow those rules. You do those things. Good for you. But that doesn't mean everyone else has to, you know. So, whatever.
And that also doesn't mean that somebody else's existence is pushing those beliefs onto you.
Exactly.
That's the stupidest fucking argument I've ever heard.
Drag queens do not want to take your children. Let's just get that out of the way. They don't. So, just stop. If they want to read or do something like that, that is not them trying to turn your children into drag queens. And if you really want to get crazy with it, like, men have been performing in women's clothing going back to the Shakespearean era when women weren't allowed to be performers and be in plays.
Yeah, that's a funny point that comes up a lot when you look into LGBTQ history is the fact that sexism led to a lot of the Shakespearean theater thing is a perfect example. It was like they were so sexist they wouldn't let women on stage,
right?
So they dressed men as women, or usually young boys as women, and then
in romantic plays your founding father put on a wig and powdered makeup, like,
yeah,
come on, let's calm down.
Yeah,
and wore heels that I wouldn't wear all the time because I love myself and my lower back, and that's rude.
But even beyond that, there's like so much history there with like so much of the shit that's out there that people make these stupid fucking observations on today that have been around forever. And a lot of it like came out of weird things that were totally fine, but for some reason, a lot of people have become convinced this is a new problem. This is a thing that just came out. And it's no, humans have been humans for as long as humans have been humans.
Uh-huh.
And this has been here.
Yep.
So
just sit your ass down.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to hear it. In case you're wondering what side of the debate I'm on with that. And if that offends you, this is not your podcast. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I actually have a story. And it's not a super long story, and it's just about someone that I had heard. My computer just went to sleep. It was like, bitch, this is a long intro. I'm going to take a nap. Rude.
We're recording, right?
Yeah, we are. No, it's the other computer because I got. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's happening over here, sir. Okay.
I usually don't.
But I had heard the music, but I didn't know who it was. Like, I had no idea until I was like, oh, okay, great.
Okay.
So what if I told you that there was a rhythm and blues singer from Tennessee who was popular in the 60s, and I'm talking popular, right?
Right.
Was on television, performed in front of a live band, and also happened to be a black trans woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would know, but.
Okay. Let's pretend like, okay, encyclopedia know-it-all. Shut your mouth and pretend like you don't know. Because I didn't know. I didn't know.
Well, like, no. I don't mean I know specifically, but I've suspended that whole, like, you'll never believe because.
I've
learned. Yeah. I better start believing because it's everywhere.
So I'm talking about Jackie Shane.
Okay.
Who I have heard her music, had no idea it was a trans woman. No idea. And
wait, what time frame did you say this was?
60s.
Oh, so it wasn't yesterday.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, no, no.
I just had to make sure that we
were pointing that out. This is a history lesson, kids, boys and girls.
Nobody listens to us, children.
That's true. Boils and ghouls. This is a history lesson. And like, I like R&B from the 60s because you got, you know, Sam Cooke, Etta James, the Drifters, Elvis. I mean, I know he gets, you know, I know before you start yelling at me about he stole and whatever. He had some good R&B in there. I know. But I'm just saying he's popular in this time. Right. And so this music is like it's being played on television and shit like that. And the list goes on and on. That's just like ones that kind of come off top that are minus Elvis, African-American. Right. Like there's quite a few. I'm not going to do a John Mulaney joke, even though it just popped into my head.
I know. I was thinking
I'm gonna hush. If you know the joke, then whatever. Okay. So Jackie knew at a young age that she was not a normal boy, like that something was going on with Jackie. And luckily, which is just to me is just crazy that this was even a thing in the South. She had a mother who supported her, which supported her dressing up in her clothes, putting on her makeup, putting on jewelry. Like that's not a common thing, right?
Yeah, and especially then. It's not even a common thing now.
Yeah. And we are talking about a Black trans woman living in the 50s in the South. Like that was hard enough just to be a young black man in the South. Like this is when, you know, you had sundown towns and, you know, some white woman could claim that you sexually assaulted her or you looked at her funny, and then you could get drugged from your home and beat to death and there'd be no charges. Like this was a normal thing that was happening back then. And Jackie's like, fuck it, I'm a woman, and even starts wearing makeup and jewelry to school. Jackie was like all in, and it's just mind boggling to me that this was a time when there were laws on the books that literally outlawed what Jackie was. Like it was just such a no-no in the South. Right. And it was
a no-no like throughout the country.
Right. But we're talking about the South right now. That's what we're focused on at the moment. Yes. Throughout the country, but really in the South, like it's, you know, to me, it's just wild. If you just really think about, but for Jackie, which was really good, there was room for gender bending thanks to work of like Little Richard, right? Mm-hmm. Who before dipping, you know, his sexy little toe into rock and roll was performing as a drag queen named Princess LaVonne. Mm-hmm. And where he first started performing Tutti Frutti, which was one of his first big hits, was, mm-hmm. you know, instrumental in the beginning of rock and roll. And Princess LaVonne was singing this song in Black queer nightclubs, which again, I'm just like, whoa, that was a thing. Like there was one queer bar in our town, the Copa, and it was like so controversial. Like it was great once you got in. We had drag queens that performed. They played the best music. I mean, it was where I got to dance to the Smiths, you know, How Soon Is Now, in its entire glory. Like it was such a great club. And to think that there were queer Black nightclubs in the 50s is just wild to me. Like it's so wild. And you just have to, they were so fucking brave. Like that's the thing. It's like, yeah. I wish I had like a smidgen of the fucking courage it took to get dressed and go out knowing that there was a likely chance that this shit could get raided and then it could go real bad, as we all know. With, you know, Stonewall and all of that, right? Why we have Pride to begin with. But besides that, Princess LaVonne's lyrics to Tutti Frutti were a little different.
Yep.
Before they were changed for rock and roll. And I would like to recite those to you because I think the song should be changed back, in my personal opinion, because it was the whole a wop bop a loo wop, a good goddamn. Okay, first, there we go. Lord's name in vain. Tutti Frutti, good booty. Tutti Frutti, good booty. Then you know Tutti Frutti, right? If it's tight, it's all right. And if it's greasy, it makes it easy. That, I'm sorry, that's classy right there. That yeah. is, I want to go out and dance to that. That's with Little Richard completely in drag. Like that, I would have paid to see that. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. I like those lyrics. So
it's also worth pointing out that this era of time where we're talking about, while those lyrics are pretty, they're pretty out, like mm-hmm. that wasn't that uncommon. It's weird. People like to think of like the 50s and 60s music as being or early 60s music as being like super like clean and respectable. No, right. It fucking wasn't. It's just the B-sides or what, like
right.
you've never heard. So
right. Yeah. It, I mean, and for the at the gay bars, basically, they just kind of took out because a lot of it was still kind of tongue in cheek, mm-hmm. you know, like not sleight of hand, but just like innuendos.
Yeah.
Where no, he's like, if it's tight, it's all right.
Yeah.
Like he, I mean, and they just cut through that. They were like, no, we're gay. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing here. And I'm about to sing about this shit.
Right.
So yeah, I thought it was pretty great though. But what if there's a recording with it like that?
I can't remember if that exists.
I didn't look that up, but I would be interested to know if there was. Obviously, the song was changed to be a little bit more palatable for her. And that's why it was changed to Tutti Frutti, all Rudy, which means like all good, yeah. you know. So, but no, it's supposed to be good booty. Yep. B-O-O-T-Y. Booty. Yep. So while Little Richard did tone down those lyrics, he didn't tone down him very much. Like he was always really. Incredible. Like if you think back to like incredibly flamboyant, you get Little Richard, Liberace, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like Elton John, you know, just there's some performers that it doesn't matter. Freddie Mercury, like how much they mask it. They are who they are. Right.
Yeah.
There were also other gay, ambiguous, sexual-wise performers. Vidalia and Bobby Marchand were some other like really popular performers. One was, I think, in New York. The other was in New Orleans. So mm-hmm. that shit makes sense.
Yeah.
So this means that, you know, Jackie, who's stuck in the South, you know, doing her best, there was a place for her, believe it or not, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
And Jackie actually met Little Richard when he came through Nashville with his touring band, The Upsetters. Mm-hmm. Again, which is just such a great name mm-hmm. for a band because they knew mm-hmm. like they are black. They are proud and yep. they are going to piss all you white folks off. So yep. which is great. And she even trained with his drummer for a while. Mm-hmm. And so she started working as a drummer for Excello Records. I think that's how you say it. It with like their studio band. I mean, because I'm sure yeah. you can explain this a little bit better, but people would go in and record and they would record with a studio band instead of bringing like their own band.
Well, they may not even have their right. own band.
Yeah. So she was a drummer. And she would also start drumming at hot night spots. One of them called New Error. So, you know, there's that. Mm-hmm. She drummed behind Big Maybell, Joe Tex, Larry Williams, and others. Mm-hmm. I don't know who half those people are, but I guess if you're a music buff, you will. And I probably mispronounced at least one of those things. So sorry. And she also traveled with a carnival that was called Kelton and Wilson, which is a very boring name for a carnival. Hopefully that was just like their business name and they had like a cooler carnival name, you know, whatever.
Barnum and Bailey. Like
that's a little better than that, Kelton and Wilson,
but it's that old tradition.
Wow. Barnum and Bailey sounded better
because those names just are better.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But with the carnival, she was dancing and singing with the tent show band alongside strippers, ventriloquists, and animal acts. The whole like post vaudevillian, you know, cast of characters, like just
right
being the most classic being awesome. Carnival. So Douglas McGowan, who helped Jackie release her box set, in the like late, I think like between shit, I didn't write down. It was like 2014 and 2017. He like worked with her, to do a box set. Mm-hmm. And he said, quote, "I think it's really apparent that there's a very, very clear difference between a drag performer where there's a cloak of irony and a self-protective affection that blunts the impact of offense to straight or square society with this sort of wink. Jackie did not do that. Jackie was absolutely a modern 21st century transsexual person in the mid 60s. And I don't believe there was any terminology to describe her or what Jackie was doing at the time. And I think it was only possible because of her extraordinary talent." Yeah, I mean, they're really, I know transvestite became a word. I think Marsha actually used that one, which is offensive now and not something that trans folk would like to be called. But that was like kind of the first, you know, connotation of like what, because there was nothing, because she was more than drag, because she believed right. She was a woman. Like she was, it wasn't a performance that she put on and took off, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that she was, if she was gay, it was, no, this is my persona. This is my person. This is who I really am. Yeah. So it was with the circus. I can read. First of all, rude to assume I can't. I can read. It was with the circus that Jackie made it to Canada, Cornwall, Ontario. I don't know where that's at, other than no it's clue. In Canada, Canada. And she made it there in the spring of 1959. And Jackie says she found her home and said, quote, "I never felt that good before. I just felt so free. I just loved it." So getting out of the South was really fucking good for Jackie.
And getting out of the country.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Just completely leaving the U.S. She had finally fulfilled her dream of making it out of the Jim Crow South, which she had always sworn to do. You know, that like super wonderful, awful time where every town was a sundown town and, you know, town leaders were erecting statues of Civil War losers so they could remind Black people bad, where their place was.
Bad statues.
Bad, bad statues. Yeah, just horrible faces. And the era that Jackie was worried that, you know, she could be lynched for just being
for
herself.
For a plethora of reasons.
Yeah, just pretty much just being her, just existing. You know, that gave the right for someone else to hurt her. So she was super excited to get out of that and make it to Canada. And while she was there, she met trumpeter, not a trumper, a trumpeter, a man who plays a trump by the name of
a man who plays a trumpet.
Trumpet.
Said, a man who plays a trump.
I could read. I promise. That was intentional. Funny joke. Time I will pause for laughter.
Okay.
No, but she met a trumpet player named Frank Motley and his band known as the Motley Crew. And I think it's important to point out that the reason why Motley Crew has to spell their name the way they do is because this was the original Motley Crew and they got the C-R-E-W.
Yep.
So that's all I'm gonna say about that. So all throughout the 60s, you know, Jackie blazed a path. She was all over the place from Toronto, Los Angeles. She drummed on sessions for a modern record label. That was Modern Records. That was the name of their label. She was
that's creative.
Very modern. She would stop off in Nashville, where she appeared on the iconic local TV show Night Train. So, okay. Yep. She cut the single Any Other Way, which is a song I know. I've heard it played on the radio. No idea it was a trans woman, but, you know, you live and you learn, right?
Yeah.
It's a cover of a William Bell Sax original. It was a regional breakout hit. It got heavy rotation on the radio up north, where people really didn't know who Jackie was. And she also earned a solid reputation as a live act. She was really good. She had charisma. I mean, she'd practice with the damn circus. You know, she
yeah,
she could do it. Canadian soul singer Eric Mercury. I always wanted to say Eddie Mercury, but that's wrong. I don't know why I wanted to say it, but there you go. He said it was like going to see Little Richard. I would come out of the Holiday Tavern in Toronto sweating, and it wasn't hot in there except for what Jackie was putting down. So, yeah, we had never seen anything up close like that in Toronto. It was like a tornado coming through the place. So I imagine like she was just a performance.
Right.
Which, again, I would have paid to see. Like there are some videos of her singing, like you can see the television performance. But as y'all know, thanks to Elvis's gyrating hips and stuff like that, like you couldn't really perform on television. Like you had yeah. to kind of just like stand there and like sing your song. So it's very toned down. But I highly recommend that you go and you read it. In the 70s, Jackie split from Frank Motley and his Motley Crew. But they were still active and would like play together every once in a while. She played shows in L.A. and Las Vegas and Nashville also, where she met George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic. they tried to hire her onto the mothership, but she declined. So she was like, no, I'm good. Y'all are way too high. I'm good. I'm gonna go. No, I don't know. I don't know if she said that. That would be my answer. But she would play a few more shows with the Motley Band, but their professional relationship had really deteriorated badly. And she had her mother and a serious boyfriend in Los Angeles at the end of 1971. So at barely 30 years old, Jackie called it quits. She kind of became somewhat of a recluse, but would surface a few times. And one of the times was when a couple documentaries have been made about her, which I highly recommend you check out. And whenever they did the box set. Jackie Shane died in her sleep at home in Nashville, February 21st, 2019. So she did not have to live through COVID.
Yeah.
Good for her. Good for her. And you can find the documentary. I think there's two that are about her, as well as her songs and her performances on YouTube. Other than that, it's kind of hard to find her music, but I highly, highly, highly suggest you check it out. Because she has an amazing voice, and it is kind of like that. It's a little bit deeper for a woman, but it is just an absolutely beautiful voice. And she could sing like it was wonderful. So that too, I brought for Pride Month, recognizing Miss Jackie Shane, because I didn't know about her, and it was awesome to learn. I know she went through hard things. I'm sure racism and hatred and bigotry and just all kinds of awful things. But I am glad that she is remembered for her talent and her voice. And she got to live and follow her dreams. And people gave her chances and let her perform and saw past all the ignorance and let that star shine. And so that was really awesome. So that too. If you knew about her, awesome. You can probably tell me a lot more. If you didn't, seriously, go check her out because she is really awesome. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if anybody has a recording of Little Richard singing Princess LaVonne, singing Tootie Fruity, Good Booty, I would love to hear that. That would be super great.
Did you actually look?
I did. No, I didn't, because I was doing other things. I got my research on, and I had actually got sidetracked on Little Richard because, like, again, I know of him and I've listened to, you know, some of his songs, but I hadn't really spent it. And I'm always like, woo, yeah, you go, boy. But never like, I was never like a huge Little Richard fan. Right. Like, and I like more of like the doo-wop kind of thing before rock and roll really started taking over. Not that I don't like rock and roll and rockabilly and all of that, but if we're talking about R&B and stuff like that, for me, I'm more the Motown doo-wop-y kind of sound, you know? So that's more what I would listen to. And so, yeah, but I went down the rabbit hole with him and I was like, oh shit, I'm researching the wrong person. So I had to go back and start, you know, looking up more stuff on Jackie because yeah, I fucked up. And so I was like, no, I cannot look at that. So I listened to her.
No.
Yeah, but I will go look for that. Or if someone else wants to do the work for me, I'm not mad about that.
You can do the work. It's fine.
Rude. Yeah. I think that's what I brought. Steven, you're going to have one, but we're going to release it later this week before the end of the month.
Yeah.
Yours is a little bit longer than mine. It has a little bit more.
I mean, maybe
information.
We'll see.
A little more research. So we're going to try to put two episodes out in 1 week. We'll see how that goes. So
yep.
Don't get too excited before it actually happens. But yeah, that's what I had. So happy Pride, you know, hug your LGBTQ plus people. Remember that silence is allowing things to happen to them and letting people know that, you know, you're okay with it. Speak up, speak out, protect, be a safe place for people. It's very important.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the whole thing where we're not in the times where it's okay to be not racist. You need to be anti-racist.
Correct.
And it's kind of the same thing with this. Like, your silence is complicity. When you see people being dicks or shit like that for no fucking reason, and you do nothing to even make them feel slightly uncomfortable about the fact that they think it's okay in open company to be openly shitty like that, mm-hmm. then that's why it continues.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yep. We live in a time where Nazis are a thing again. Yeah. You gotta be the voice of good. So, and again, if this episode offended you, bye. Boy, bye. Like, no, or sis, bye. I don't know. Whatever it is. Because if you are unclear on what side we stand on this, you can email me and I'll be very happy to.
If there's any ambiguity, well, you're going to get really pissed when I release mine. So,
yeah. So,
because Tasha's the nicer of the two of us.
That's true. Also the prettier. But, you know, it's fine. Not the smarter, though.
Okay.
I concede that.
Okay.
Probably not prettier either, but it's okay. But yeah. But thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. You want to check out other episodes? You can head on over to our website at mystifiedpod.com. We're on the socials. Instagram, mystified_pod. We also have a discussion group on Facebook, Mystified Podcast Discussion Group. So come on over. We have been trying to post. If you don't see us, it's because we were inactive for so long. The algorithms just got rid of us. So just, I don't know, look up the group, like something, and maybe it'll appear in your feed again if you want it to. If not, you can block it. That's perfectly fine also. Yeah, and our plan is to be back in a couple days so that you can get another episode. And like Steven said, if you did not enjoy this one, then you're probably not going to enjoy the next one. So just hang out for another week and we should be back with some other stuff, but still have the same views and opinions. So,
yep.
You know, the choice is yours.
Yep.
But other than that, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Mystified. Podcast.